Hello, happy Thursday to you. Hope you all are having a good week. And thank you for joining us again today for our Bible study. And hopefully you watched part one of Esther that we did on Tuesday. So if you haven't watched that, go back and watch that because that's where we get all the context. And so I'm not going to go as much into that today. So make sure you watch that before you watch this one. But today we're going to pick up in verse 9 because in verses 1 through 8, we meet King Ahasuerus or King Xerxes. And so today we're introduced to a new person. Look at with me if you have your Bible or your device or whatever you have there. Look at chapter 1 of Esther, verse 9. It says, Queen Vashti also gave a feast for the women in the palace that belonged to King Ahasuerus. So here in verses 1 through 8, we meet King Xerxes, and now we find out that he has a wife. So notice how many verses are given to, King Ahasuerus or King Xerxes, just extravagance and throwing a party for himself, and how many words are given to him. But now in verse 9, we see that Queen Vashti also gave a feast. So it was much more understated, much more mellow than he is. And so we kind of get a juxtaposition here between these two people, how the king loves to flaunt himself and Queen Vashti may be a little more understated. But now notice verse 10. It says, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abigatha, Zethar, and Carcass, the seven eunuchs who served him in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king with her royal crown in order to show the peoples and the princes her beauty, for she was lovely to look at. And so now we've seen all that he has done to celebrate himself, and all the pride that he has. Now he says, now after this 7 days, he is well eaten, he is well drunk now, and he says, you know what, I'm going to show off my queen, because this is what's going to really get the people going, because if they see how beautiful she is, then that makes me look even better. So he goes to his eunuchs, his servants, and he says, go bring me the queen. And what we don't know here, there's something here that the Jewish scholars, the Jewish interpreters in the Mishnah would say that what this means here, where it says to bring the queen before him with her royal crown, they would say that that means that she is to only come out wearing her crown, nothing else. And so he really wants to flaunt her. He really wants to show her off. It's really demeaning to bring her out in front of this raucous crowd who is just drunk and eaten and gluttonous and all this. And now he wants to parade her out with nothing on except for her crown. Now, we don't know if that's exactly what it is, but that's what the Jewish historians believe was going on here. And so he wants to bring her out. Now, whether that just means to make sure she's wearing her crown with her beautiful gown or something like that, or if that's the only thing she's supposed to wear, we don't know. But notice that the reason he wants to bring her out is to show her beauty off, because again, it would make him look good. But here's the first irony, or the first coincidence that happens in this book. Look at verse 12. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command delivered by the eunuchs. And of course, at this, the king became enraged and his anger burned within him. So see, anybody, if you've known anybody that maybe has control issues or something like that, or maybe if you can deal with control issues, when you don't get your way or when that person doesn't get their way, what usually comes out of that? Anger, right? And so that's what we see here, is he wants to be in control. He thinks everybody answers to him. But now the one person who has denied him is his wife, and it's a woman. And so he is now angry. He is enraged. But what I want us to see here today, first of all, is that we don't know why she didn't come. Maybe it was because she didn't want to come out with nothing on but her crown. Maybe she, or even if it wasn't that, maybe she didn't want to come out in front of a bunch of drunk guys that were going to be gawking at her and maybe pawing at her and things like that. She didn't want to come out in a crowd like that. That's what we would like to think this was, but we don't know. Because see, there's there's two different interpretations here. There's a conservative approach that actually there's some conservatives, ultra conservatives, who would say, well, she's wrong because she denied her husband. That's not submission. And she's wrong because she should have done that. But then there's a more progressive and more liberal view of this that would say, well, that's what she should do because she's a woman and she doesn't have to answer to anybody, right? And so both of those would have their own views, and the other one would say the other one is wrong. But the truth of the matter is we don't know. We don't know. So anything that we would say would just be conjecture. It would just be guess because the text doesn't tell us for sure why. We can surmise why. We can guess why, but we don't know why exactly. And so we have to be careful with reading our own views into this. Because if I was super conservative, I would say, well, she's wrong. If I was more progressive liberal, I would say, well, that's what she should do. But the truth of the matter is we don't know. And sometimes in Scripture, there's just things that we don't know. When we read Scripture, it's not like reading the newspaper. It's not like reading the magazine, a magazine, or watching the news or something like that, where it's always about the facts. Yes, Scripture gives us facts. Yes, there's history in Scripture. Yes, there's some things about science and things like that in Scripture. But never approach this to be a textbook that has to give you every fact of every detail. Because for whatever reason, the Spirit didn't inspire the author to tell us exactly why she didn't come. We don't know. And so we have to be careful with that, and we have to make sure that we're not reading our own disposition and our own views into Scripture, because some things are just unknown. And isn't that life? Aren't there things in life, like right now, we talked about it in part one, right now there's things that we just don't know, and that's okay. Because in life, there's things that's going to be happening right now in our life, and we don't know why. And so we have to approach that with understanding that unknowns are okay. They're okay. What we should hold on to is what we know to be true. And that's the truth of Scripture, that God is in control. And what we're going to see is that God is going to work through this. It doesn't really matter why she doesn't come. But we know that God's going to be working through it all. And that's what we have to remember in our life. We said that God is working behind the scenes. God is working underneath everything. And so even when we don't know what's going on in our life right now, what we can hold on to is to hold on to the truth that God is in control and that he's good and that he loves us because he sent Jesus to die for us. Those are the things that we can hold on to regardless of all the unknowns that we have. Because there are things in life that Scripture doesn't tell us. There's questions that we have that Scripture just simply will not tell us. But what it will tell us is how we can have a relationship with God and how we can follow and obey him. And then the other questions maybe will get answered in heaven. Maybe they won't matter. But I think what we'll see here is that we need to understand that unknowns are going to come into our life, and that's okay. Let's not try to read into them and make God say something that he doesn't say. Because if this is the word of God, when we read our own opinions into it, then we're making God say something that he didn't really say. So what we see here first is that she refused to come, and we don't know why. It's just that she did. So what we have to understand is that there's going to be things that we don't know in our life. And what we don't want to do is now what we see Xerxes do next. Look at verse 13. So he's angry and he's upset, right? So it says, then the king said to the wise men who knew the times, for this was the king's procedure toward all who were versed in law and judgment. The men next to him being Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, who saw the king's face and set first in the kingdom. According to the law, what is to be done to Queen Vashti because she has not performed the command of King Ahasuerus delivered by the eunuchs? So what's interesting about that, and I stumble through those names because they're very hard to pronounce, so I just do the best I can. But what's interesting is now the king is upset. She has now slighted him, right? Somebody has actually told him no. So what's he do? He goes and gets his seven princes, those who are the highest governmental rulers below him. He goes and gets them and he says, now, what should we do about this woman, my wife? He notice he doesn't say, he just says the queen. He doesn't call her by name. I'm sorry, he does. He says, what is to be done to Queen Vashti? Not my wife, but to the queen. So now he's like, the relationship is severed as far as he's concerned. He says, what are we going to do about the Queen Vashti? Because she has denied my command. How dare she? And now what can we do to punish her? So he gets these people together. And notice what happens then in verse 18. So then Memucan said in the presence of the king and the officials. So he's speaking now in front of everybody else. He says, not only against the king has Queen Vashti done wrong, but also against all the officials and all the people who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the queen's behavior will be made known to all women, causing them to look at their husbands with contempt. Since they will say, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, and she did not come. This very day, the noble women of Persia and Media who have heard of the queen's behavior will say the same to all the king's officials. And there will be contempt and wrath and plenty. So he says, not only has she wronged you, king, but she's wronged us and all the people, because now our wives are going to not jump when we, you know, not going to say how high when we say jump. And so now this has caused just disarray in the whole kingdom because she hasn't come. And it's going to cause problems for our marriages. It's going to cause problems in other people's families. So you see how he's like escalated this? So now notice verse 19. So what's his answer? He says, well, if it please the king, let a royal order go out from him and let it be written among the law of the Persians and the Medes so that it may not be repealed, that Vashti is never again to come before the king, before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. So that when the decree made by the king is proclaimed through all the kingdom, for it is vast, all women will give honor to their husbands, high and low alike. And this advice pleased the king and the princes, and the king did as Memucan proposed. So notice what he does. He speaks up in the presence of everybody else. There's six other princes there and the king. And he speaks up and the king goes along with what he says. And what is he saying? He's saying, because of what the queen has done, now it's made life miserable for everybody. It's going to make life miserable. So we need to do something about that and put out an order that all wives must listen to their husbands and do as they're commanded. So he took something that was a personal situation, and now he's made it a kingdom-wide situation. And the king went along with it. So instead of dealing with the situation, instead of saying, all right, Vashti, what's going on here? Why did the queen not come? They now just make it everybody's situation. They make it a problem for everybody. They say, well, because she did it, everybody's going to do it. And so what we see here is in the unknowns, when the king could have just dealt with his wife, instead he surrounds himself with people and he goes for advice, but then they tell him the worst possible advice and he goes along with it. See, Proverbs says there's wisdom in a counsel in a number of counselors. But what we have to make sure is that even if we have a number of counselors around us, that we have people who can speak honestly to us. Because somebody should say, whoa, 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 let's get a counselor in here. Let's sit down and talk, you and Queen Vashti, and figure out what's going on here. But that's not what happened. He immediately wanted to sever. He no longer saw her as his wife. He's like, we just got to punish her. And then his advisor said, yeah, let's just get rid of her and let's treat everybody the same way that we want to treat her. And so we see that there's bad advice given here. And he was not careful who he listened to, because all he cared about was himself. And so they told him something that was going to feed that pride. And so he goes along with it. And so we have to make sure that when we don't know what to do, when there's things that happen in our life that we don't know what the next step to do, we need to have a number of counselors around us. We need to have people that can give us wisdom. But we also need to make sure that those people that give us that wisdom are people that we can trust to be honest with us. See, when we have those people surrounded by us, the first question that we should always ask is, do they love Jesus more than they love me? Because if somebody loves Jesus more than they love you, then that means they're going to be honest about what the word says. And then the second question is okay, do they love me? See, if they love Jesus and then they love me, then that's someone who's going to be honest with you because they love Jesus enough to tell you the truth and to point you to his word and to the truth of his word. But then they love you enough to be honest with you. And so we have to make sure that the people that we surround ourselves with are going to be honest with us. Like, and that's okay. We may not always like it. I don't always like it when somebody tells me the truth that I don't want to hear. But in the end, that can save us a lot of hassle. Because if King Ahasuerus here could have just sat down and said, all right, what did I do wrong? How can I fix this? What do we need to do on our marriage? Then things might have gone differently. But as we see, because she refused to come, his pride was injured. And then it just spirals out from there, as we're going to see, as we're going to continue through this. But the things that I want us to remember today is there's going to be things in Scripture and in life that we just don't know the answer to. We're just not going to know this side of eternity. But in those times in our life when we're trying to figure out what to do and what direction to go, then we need to have a number of people that we can go and talk to and get wisdom from. But make sure those people love Jesus first and then love you second, because that's the people that's going to be honest with you. And so that's what King Ahasuerus didn't have, but may we be people that do that, that will seek that wisdom and get the right advice, and then to be able to follow God and follow that advice for his glory, so that we don't destroy our lives in the meantime because we did what we wanted to do and what only made us happy, but rather take that advice that people give us because they want to help us and they're trying to encourage us or try to maybe steer us in the right direction away from our prideful choices that we would want to make. But those people that say, you know what, here's what Scripture would say, and that's what we need to be reminded of. So I hope that helps you this week, and we look forward to diving more into this next week, because this is where it really starts getting good from the things that happen. And so the things that we can remember today is that God is in control and that he gives us the wisdom that we need to follow him. And so that's our takeaway from today. And sometimes we need the counselors to help us do that. So make sure you surround yourself with people that'll give you that wise counsel to help us. So God bless you. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and we hope to see you on Sunday, either here in person or online. God bless you.